Carolyn, that song greatly disappointed me. Because I was told by my aunts and uncles, being the firstborn grandson, that in my grandmother's eyes, I'm the one that hung the moon. Oh my goodness, what a wake up. And Paul, an apostle, sent not from men, nor by man, but by the Jesus Christ, God of the Father. You know, I bet if I turn his microphone on, it'd be better. Who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers with me. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue him from the present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And amen. Lord, we look upon these words and seek truth and understanding. For we truly live in a mixed up age, where now right is wrong and wrong is right, and love and hate makes no difference. Kindness and joy have been taken out of our lives because of Satan himself. We pray for your understanding and grace. Lord, our world is totally mixed up. Send leaders first to the congregations and then to the churches and then to the country and then to the world that will take a stand for Jesus, the Christ, our only Savior. For our missionaries, for our military, for our first responders, for our poor policemen and officers and that are put under so much pressure and death threats anymore, give their families and give them your grace and kindness and protection. Father, let us open our hearts and minds today so your words will leave us with love and wonderment about your grace. Be with the speaker, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've been through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've traveled into the book of Acts, the beginning of the church. We went to Romans to see the leadership of the church into Rome itself and then the leadership of Paul. Paul then gave us the letters of 1st and 2nd Corinthians to show the people within specific problems what they should do. And now he goes to address a different area. Up to this time, Paul has been pretty much in, may I say the word, civilized areas. I'm not sure that I want to use that word, but somewhat. I mean, Jerusalem was higher up. They'd been around for a long time. Rome was, of course, the capital of the world at that time. He's going now to the settlements. He's going towards Asia, and Asia Minor is called. The area that was called during that period of time Galatia was the northern part of Asia Minor. Paul had told us in Acts that he intended to go through there on his way to going to Asia, but the Lord stopped him from going to Asia at that time. So he did where he was supposed to be at the time. Too often. Any of y'all ever bought a house? Most of you probably, or moved in an apartment, or I'm standing on a sticky tack. Glad I got my shoes on. That would hurt. Too often we go into a new area, a new landscape or something like that and say, well, I want this changed, I want that changed, this is wrong. We built our first house and sold it when we moved to Indiana to be preaching up near Chicagoland. And came back to visit a couple months later to see the house. People said, come on back. They had torn out all the carpet, painted all the rooms different color, turned the grass over and mowed it on the wrong side. I don't know what all this, but I was heartbroken that the house that they loved so much they wanted to buy it, they totally destroyed it. Isn't that strange? And I'm sure this has never happened, I would hope, that when you get teenage girls, I love teenage girls, they're just a quandary in my mind. They didn't like the old boyfriend, so they broke up and they get a new boyfriend. They try to make him just like the old boyfriend. And the favorite term, I'm in the building business, and the favorite term not for the permitting and the inspector's department is, that's not the way we did it back home. Their answer is, you ain't back home, sonny boy. Well, Paul went in this area and found out things were different than he expected them to be. Now, first he gives his introduction to a group of people he had not met before, but God seemed to be. He told him, here are my credentials. Anybody, when you go to the doctor's office, look up on the wall to make sure that diploma or that medical license didn't come from the Ajax company, the same where the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote get all their stuff, that it was a real school? Yeah. And it's okay if it's written in Latin, because, you know, all them Latin people are doctors. But it better be written somewhere in English that you know for it's for real. Paul says, here's my credentials. I am an apostle, not from men or from man. I didn't make this up. Somebody didn't pick me out. God made me an apostle. He was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. He tried to destroy the early church, but God made him see the light. Now, I hope none of you have to be riding down a road or walking down a road, or riding on a donkey down the road, and a light so bright that it blinds you and puts scales on your eyes and knocks you off the donkey down to the ground, and that you don't. We should not have to be in that bad a situation when we find out we're wrong and change. But if you never said, oh, I see the light now, things are different than I expected or than I was told. Paul saw the light and he changed, and God called him. He gives him grace and peace. Jesus said, my peace I leave to you. We should be a blessing to other people. And we should not be afraid or ashamed to bless others. Thank them for being with you and serving and working. He gives them his grace. And that is a very honorable thing to do in the time of the ancients in the Middle East, to give somebody's blessing. Matter of fact, did Jesus not tell the apostles, if you go to somewhere where you're not welcome, take your grace and peace with you and dust the sandals, dirt off your sandals and go somewhere else? But the presence of a Christian should make a difference in whatever community we're in, whatever business meeting we're in, whatever PTA, PEO, pickleball court. Man, y'all got the World War III going up here on the pickleball courts. It makes the news down there in Fort Myers. I'm thinking, pickleball court. Is it a dill pickle or a sweet gherkin? I don't know. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. Now, Jesus had been crucified. This book is a great disagreement. If he went to the northern part of Galatia first, it was written about 55 A.D. If he went to the southern part, written about 51 A.D. It doesn't matter which part you went to. Jesus had been crucified and resurrected near 20 years or more. But he's still talking about Jesus, and he's still talking about the evil in the world. And his goal was to tell us about that evil and how to get away from it. He says, he gave himself for our sins, crucifixion, rescued us from the present evil age, his coming back out of the grave, his blessing upon them, and then going to be ascended into heaven, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So now Paul says, here's my credentials, now here's my lesson. He didn't piddle around. The Gauls were a tough bunch. Galatia was inhabited about 63 A.D. B.C. by the group of northern invaders from France. That's where the Gauls were. And they came through and they took over and they get rid of all the tribal thing. They were later conquered again by Rome. But it started with France. And they were somewhat stubborn. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we were, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. And now I say again, if anyone is preaching you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul had traveled. The gospel had gotten out. These people had heard of his love of Jesus Christ, and they gave to it. And then a group followed Paul around. Some were called Judaizers. You have to become Jews before you can become Christians. So they gave them the old laws back. Some were just totally perverting the gospel one step at a time. And Paul knew of it and was very upset. Okay. Things haven't changed. Anytime a movement, a person, an event, a group, whatever, is successful, somebody's going to try to come in, tell you that they're better, they're smarter, they're wiser, they're more blessed, and change the original way. It can be simple. Those of you who had grandmothers that knew how to cook. Now, ladies, please, I'm sorry. Bear with me for just a second. They used lard. They mixed in self-rising flour. No, they didn't. They used general-purpose flour and put in baking powder, baking soda, or baking something another. I used the wrong one time. It was terrible. And they let them biscuits rise. They made what we call back home cat's head biscuits. Anybody familiar with cat's head biscuits? Couple of you. Cat's head biscuit is when you take a tin can and cut the top and the bottom out of it. Clean it. Take the paper off, of course. And you roll that dough out. And you take that biscuit can and you put it in your hand and go whoppity, 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 whoppity. And it jumps out. When you flip it, it jumps out. And they swell up big as cat's head. That's why we call them cat's head biscuits. And you put a little real churn butter, not that oleo margarine, you know. There's some kind of oil put with jello color, I don't know what. You put real live butter, unsalted, of course. The cows didn't have any salt. And then you put some real live honey on it. Woo-hoo! It is so good. That's the old time cooking. Now, if you walk down a neighborhood in the springtime when everybody had their windows open, you thought it was a war. You hear whoppity, 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 because they're peeling those cans of buttermilk biscuits and explode on you. That's not a biscuit. That's store-bought. But they've changed their ways. Let me tell you this in all sincerity. There are people going around the world today, just today, trying to change the gospel. Joy brought to my attention. I'm going to mention your name, Joy, because you did the research. Joy brought to my attention. Minnesota, Michigan, one of the Yankee states where it's still on, is getting ready to have a convention. And they have brought in not only non-Christian teachers, but ones who are so much trying to change the truth of Christ that they sound good, but they're not teaching the gospel. When somebody has to put in, and if I've offended some of you all, or you go to one of these churches back home, find out for sure what you're going to see. We've got the Bible to back us up. Which writer do they have? Is it Rick Warren? Is it Appleby? Is it all the different ones from these emerging churches and new age churches and the Vine and Vineyard? Those things, when they teach contrary to the teachings of Jesus Christ in the writings of Paul and Peter, the revelation of John, etc. If I lose you on this, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Are instruments of the devil. Simply instruments of the devil. Tony Campello is a great writer. He has a tremendous sermon called It's Friday, but Sunday's Coming. But he also teaches red letter scriptures. Now, red letter scriptures mean if Jesus didn't say it, it don't count. Paul said it, don't matter. John said it, doesn't matter. Peter wrote, doesn't matter. Only Jesus. It gets away from all the teachings of truth. It gets away from morality. It gets away from honesty within the congregations and all. So somebody tells you, oh, come over here and see, we've got this new preacher. He's got this new idea and he's bringing something new. And I'm thinking, give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Now, I'm a stick in the mud. I'm 67 years old. I don't apologize for it. Because the words of Christ are almost 2,000 years old. The writings of Peter and Paul and James and John and the apostles are over 1,900 years old. And there is no... It's like spam. There is no expiration on it. I'll be glad when my wife gets back. I've had spam the last 5 nights. Spam, hash browns, and Brussels sprouts for 5 nights. My house smells like a cabbage factory. I got to air it out before she gets here tomorrow. But there is no end to the scriptures. And when somebody says, well, that's the old days, that applies to those ways. Well, that description of heaven, is that the old days too? That description of heaven is a place with many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going to prepare you a place for you. And where I am there, you will be also. Don't let somebody with good ideas and handsome and good suit and tall and wavy haired and all their hair, don't let them fool you. This is the book we need. This is the book we've got to live. This is the book we're going to be judged by. And I don't apologize for that. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Well, now there's a lot of things. There's a TV show called Bull, where this guy tries to fix the juries to vote his way. And it doesn't matter what the real truth is, he wants to get the jurors. So, and the same thing with the OJ trial to pick the right judge. Oprah Winfrey got Dr. Phil to be famous by picking the jury for her in the hamburger thing. We don't need to be trying to impress men. For God is our judge. He looks into our hearts. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I got to read. I'm sorry. When we created the idea, we are created on the idea that we can disagree about what the scriptures say as long as we agree about the central truth, who God is. So the rest of it doesn't matter. It's the form of what they're doing at that convention. There's a good chance this man will bring some new faces. It's a good thing, isn't it? Well, bringing in new people is a great thing. Bringing them in and telling them lies and deceit, Paul says, is not of God. What I preach is something not something man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it from revelation from Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good source. And that's the source we need to look to. And all the trials and tribulations that we have, folks, be careful of popular movements. Be careful of political correction. Be careful of anything that tries to deviate you from what God has told us and Jesus has showed us that He expects. It's going to happen. See, the devil could not destroy Christ. Oh, he bit his heel, just like God told Adam and Eve. But Christ crushed the devil's head. And now the devil is on his last. On his last leg. And he's trying to take as many down with him as he can. I gave an example years ago. Colin keeps reminding me about this one. I have a bad attitude about waspers. And I was in a construction site one day, and there was a wasper hanging out. You all know what a wasper is, don't you?
No.
WSP, wasper?
No. A wasp?
No, it's a wasper.
No, it's a wasp.
A rose by any other name would smell so sweet, and a wasper by any other name would sting so deep. I just made that up. You can have that one. There was a wasper up against the window, and I had a glass, drinking glass. I eased over real quietly, and I put the glass on one side, And then I put it down on the washer. Oh, he got mad. He was stinging the glass and stinging the glass and stinging the glass. So I edged the outside of that glass up a little bit, and he stuck his head out. Boom! I chopped his head off. I do not apologize. And you know what that wasper did? He kept stinging and stinging and stinging. It was automatic to him to bring harm and pain to people. The devil is the same way. It's automatic to him to bring harm and pain and destruction and damnation to people. He wants hell full, not heaven. That's introduction. It was a revelation of Jesus Christ. 4:13 says, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Jerusalem." Yeah. How intensely I persecuted church. Yeah. I tried to destroy the church of God. Yeah. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. Yeah. He tried to be the king of all Jews and follow it the best he knew how. Problem was, he was taught wrong about God. But when God set me apart from birth and called me by His grace, see, our salvation comes from the grace of God. We don't earn it. It is a gift that we must accept. So when Paul was called by God, by the grace of God, we often say, he knew life was different. He called me by His grace. I was pleased to reveal His Son in me, so that I may preach among the Gentiles. I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I mainly went to Arabia and later returned to Damascus. When you know what you have to do, do it. How many lives will be lost if the fireman had to call in the code book to see if he was supposed to hold the hose in his right hand or his left? If the policeman had a double thought about running into, say, a bank that's being held up or something like that? If men in the military and women in the military had to call a commanding officer, is it all right if I shoot this terrorist who's got a gun on these women and children? It sounds silly, but folks, I'm serious. When we know it's the right thing to do, we do it. Or we fail. Paul was that way. It hasn't stopped being that way all these years. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. I went from Arabia. He was getting his teaching at that time. Went from Arabia. This is after he saw the light. Went from Arabia, went to Damascus. Now he's going to Jerusalem. After 3 years of instruction, I went to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter. And stay with him 15 days. That's specific. Probably was in a learning mode and telling Peter what he knew as well and exchanging ideas. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother, who gives us the book of James. He was not one of the 12 originals, but he was a follower. And I assure you before God, what I'm writing is no lie. It isn't made up. We cannot create the love of God and make it up. It came from God Himself. All we are supposed to do is accept it and enjoy it and live it and share it. Jesus will never let us down. We may ask Him, oh, was it not on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? But God did not change. He was still there. He looked the other way because he didn't want to see his child suffer. But God was still there. And God brought him out of that tomb and gave him resurrection and that new life that he will do for us one day as Christians who believe, confess, repent, and are baptized. He will give us that same new life to live in that place we call heaven for time and time again. I assure you before God that what I'm writing is no lie. Later I went to Syria and Sicily. I was personally unknown to the churches in Judah that are in Christ. They only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me. This movie that's out, we talked about a minute ago, written a true story about a lady who was in charge of an abortion clinic. But when she saw the truth, she changed. And when we know the truth, we should change as well. Not because it's the popular thing to do, because it is the right thing to do. It is my prayer that as we leave here today, we know of the love of God for us. I did it last week, and I'm going to ask you to do it with me again. Let's together repeat John 3:16. This time I want you to put your name in there again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whomsoever, Dwight, believeth in him, shall have everlasting life. See, that makes it personal. It is you that Jesus died for. Now, your neighbor's included, but it was you first. He thought of us. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I think that's a song, Carolyn, of yours, isn't it? When Jesus was on the cross, I was on his mind. Every one of us, born and unborn, those who will be here in the future, Jesus died for us. Are you willing to live for him? If you are, then do it. Our hymn of invitation decision today is hymn number 415. Did I write it? Whew. Hymn number 415. Stand with me as we sing our hymn of invitation decision, please. 415.
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the sturdy dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remote them, make us like thee divine. Thy guiding radiance above us began to God to love and loyalty.